You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll meet a candidate in next month's congressional primary as part of our series of Wisconsin candidate interviews.
Right now, we're recapping day two of the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia.
Last night, we heard from the delegates.
Madam Secretary, Arizona cast 34 votes for Senator Sanders.
And 51 votes for the next president of the United States of America, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
That was the Arizona delegation taking the floor, pledging their votes, including at the end their 102-year-old Jerry Emmett, who was old enough to remember when women weren't allowed to vote.
The Sanders camp determines where to go from here after their candidate symbolically cast his vote for Hillary Clinton.
And Donald Trump is getting a lot of criticism after apparently encouraging Russia to look for the missing emails that have been dogging the Hillary Clinton campaign.
It's time for a weekly check-in with Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538.com. He's in Philadelphia this week covering the convention. Harry, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Going to start off with the big news. Hillary Clinton now officially the Democratic nominee for president.
What an incredible honor that you have given me. And I can't believe we just put the biggest crack in that glass ceiling yet. Thanks to you and to everyone who's fought so hard to make this possible. This is really your victory. This is really your night. And if there are any little girls out there who stayed up late to watch, let me just say, I may become the first woman president, but one of you is next. Thank you all. I can't wait to join you in Philadelphia. Thank you.
Hillary Clinton making a surprise appearance at the end of the night last night via a video feed, something like that. Harry, what's been the reaction to this nomination?
I think, you know, on Monday there was some negativity around the convention with the Bernie Sanders delegation in California booing. But last night, it was really Hillary Clinton's night as Bill Clinton gave the primetime major address. And then obviously Hillary Clinton accepted the nomination. I would say, look, Democrats are enthused. I think that they're worried by some of the polling numbers that have been coming out. But they're generally enthused. This is a generally favorable crowd to Hillary Clinton so far.
A party coming out of a convention wants this rah-rah happy message with good visuals coming out of it. Both parties had rocky starts and some down moments. Are Democrats getting out there what they want to get out there at this point after that rocky start?
Yeah, I think so. Look, Bill Clinton, people say that last night perhaps wasn't his greatest speech, but Bill Clinton, even on a subpar night, is still better than 99% of the population at trying to excite people. I would say, yeah, they're getting the message that they want out so far. The real question is whether or not the American public wants to hear that message, you know? But we won't know that for a few days yet. But generally speaking, the delegates here seem to be enthusiastic, and they certainly were last night. I was in the hall when Bill Clinton spoke. The speech played very well with those delegates.
There was some interesting back and forth on the news networks last night digesting Bill Clinton's speech. Some people saying, you know, maybe he shouldn't have framed it in terms of his romantic relationship with Hillary Clinton. Other people saying, well, but it painted this picture of why she got into politics in the first place. It humanized her. What were you hearing yesterday?
Well, yeah, I heard the exact same split. I mean, if you watch, for instance, on MSNBC, there was a major split between Rachel Maddow and Chuck Todd, with Rachel Maddow saying that she didn't like the speech, and Chuck was basically disagreeing with her. Most of the delegates seemed to be very enthused by the Clinton speech, but, you know, obviously delegates are not a random percentage of the population. They are very specific people. They really like Democrats, and most of them really like Hillary Clinton. But, you know, the one thing that's interesting to me is I think Bill Clinton was trying to play the role of being the first man. And usually first ladies talk about their spouses and how they met them, and I think that was what Bill Clinton was trying to do. Whether or not it played like that or played perhaps to be a little sexist, I can't answer that question. But it seemed to me that Bill Clinton was merely giving a speech that you'd expect from somebody who is the spouse of the presidential nominee.
Senator Bernie Sanders spoke this week, and he led off the nomination process. Let's give a listen.
Madam Chair, I move that the convention suspend the procedural rules. I move that all votes cast by delegates be reflected in the official record. And I move that Hillary Clinton be selected as the nominee of the Democratic Party. for President of the United States.
Harry, we've heard Bernie Sanders making the rounds of the delegation breakfast for various states, trying to encourage his supporters to get on board with the Hillary Clinton campaign. We've talked about this a lot in the past with you, Harry, but from what you're seeing at the convention, is he making a persuasive case for some of his biggest holdouts there?
Well, I do know I spoke with two delegates from the California delegation earlier today. If you remember, on Monday, as I mentioned earlier in this conversation, the California delegation was one of the most vocal in booing on Monday. And the two delegates from the California delegation were behind Hillary Clinton. They obviously wish that Bernie Sanders was the nominee. But, you know, look, Bernie Sanders has been around the block. He's someone who understands politics. He understands that if it's not Hillary Clinton who's going to win, it's going to be Donald Trump. And more delegates than not here who are Bernie Sanders supporters are behind Hillary Clinton. There are going to be a few holdouts, as I expect, in the general election as well among the general population. But we'll wait and see whether Bernie Sanders, giving an enthusiastic endorsement of Clinton over the past few weeks, is able to bring those at least a good portion of those wayward Sanders supporters back into the Democratic tent.
We're talking with Harry Enten right now from 538.com. Harry's covering the Democratic National Convention this week in Philadelphia. And Harry, I wonder, it's midweek, do you have any compare and contrasting to do between the Republican National Convention and the Democratic in what you're seeing in the tone among the delegates and the way that the whole thing is coming off as a spectacle on TV? How's it working?
Sure. I mean, there are multiple different things that are occurring. Number one, there are more delegates at a Democratic convention than a Republican convention. So I think it's obviously a much more vocal crowd here. And I think that comes across on television. It certainly comes across in the hall. I would also say that there are a lot of delegates here who are scared. And when they look at the polls and see Donald Trump ahead, and it's scared in a different way that people are scared in Cleveland. I think both sides had fear. But it's a different type of fear, with the Cleveland being, you know, not afraid of what might happen, but of what is happening in the country, while the delegates here in Philadelphia think the direction of the country is pretty good and are much more fearful of what might happen if Donald Trump gets elected. But I'd say, you know, overall, the delegates on both sides seem to be equally behind their presidential nominee.
Let's touch on the polling for a moment, Harry. You've been writing Donald Trump had his convention and that post-convention bounce. Where are things looking before we see what the Democratic convention does to the polls?
Right. So right now, you know, if you're looking at the polls at this exact moment in time, Donald Trump is either about tied or perhaps slightly ahead of Hillary Clinton. Of course, that is generally to be expected when you go into a convention down 3 points. It shouldn't be surprising to you based upon history to get a 3-point convention bounce. I think that there were some people who thought, oh, it was such a mess in Cleveland that maybe Trump will get a negative bounce. But usually candidates get bounces, and Trump got one. The question is whether Hillary Clinton gets a bounce, and we won't know that for at least a couple of days.
And looking at Donald Trump right now, we've seen the fallout continuing still with Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the WikiLeaks about the emails involving her and maybe a bias against Bernie Sanders early on. And Donald Trump at a news conference today, appealed to a foreign power for help during the election.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing. I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press.
So, Harry, the clip from today, what do you make of that?
I mean, what else is there really to say about Donald Trump and what he has said so far? Any other candidate who would have made that statement that you just played right there would be dead in the water and would have to walk out with his tail between his legs and get beat in November by 10 to 15 points. But Donald Trump has said any number of things during this campaign that sound ridiculous on their face, and yet he seems to do perfectly fine. Again, this is not something that would be typical of a presidential nominee, but when Trump says it, apparently the American public seems to be okay with it.
And Democrats have jumped on that statement and others related and others kind of backing that up later. And we've seen a spokesperson for Paul Ryan also condemn this statement, say Putin, Russia should stay out of the American election. Is this one of those things that causes some cringing among the Republican establishment, people who have somewhat unwillingly in some cases come to support Donald Trump in this race?
Of course it does. I mean, this is, as I was basically saying, this is just not something that's usual. You don't call upon Russia, especially, to start releasing data and trying to hurt one of the presidential candidates, especially data that was stolen, essentially. And I think, you know, Republicans will condemn it like Paul Ryan, but at the end of the day, condemning only gets you so far. If you're going to continue to support Donald Trump, as they are doing, there's no sign they're not going to do it. Words don't speak as loud as actions, and the actions of the Republican National Committee and the Republican leaders besides Donald Trump indicate that they're as behind him as ever.
And Harry, as we wrap up, what are you looking for in the next couple of days at the DNC this week?
I think that there are two things I'm looking for. Tonight, I'm looking for to see whether Joe Biden or Barack Obama really brings it to Trump to make the case against Donald Trump. We saw a lot of negativity in Cleveland, not nearly as much so far in Philadelphia. I expect to see some of that. I also expect to see Hillary Clinton try and bring up her likability numbers tomorrow night, her trustworthy numbers. People just don't like her. She's going to try and tell her story and bring her favorables up. We'll see if she's able to do it.
Harry, thanks as always.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Harry Enten. He's a senior political writer and analyst at 538.com. He joins us every week at this time to talk about the latest in national politics and the presidential race. This week, he joined us from Philadelphia at the Democratic National Convention.
Coming up after the news, we continue our series of candidate interviews and one of the Democrats looking to challenge incumbent congressional representative Glenn Grothman. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.